a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Welcome to everyone here and all of our internet listeners today. Make sure your cell phones are in the silent mode, and with that, I'll have Secretary call the roll, please.
Senators Hollein.
Here.
Hunhoff.
Here.
Lederman.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Soholt.
Here.
Solano.
Here.
Senator Sutton is excused for the moment. Senator Brown.
Here.
Rave.
Here. We have a quorum.
Yes, sir.
All right. The minutes have been distributed. I would take a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by Lederman, second by Brown. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Minutes are approved. All right. With that, we'll go right to today's agenda. We'll start with the appointment of Tom Jones of Turner County to the Board of Economic Development. Is there anyone here to speak on Mr. Jones' behalf? Mr. Costello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Here to support Tom Jones' appointment to the Board of Economic Development. As you probably are aware, Tom served for 2 years as a legislative representative on the Board of Economic Development, and during that time he demonstrated his reliability, thoughtfulness, fiscally conservative values, and the governor believes that Tom would be an excellent addition to the board and hope that you will support that nomination.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning, Senator Rush.
Thank you. I'm Art Rush, Senator Art Rush, District 17, from the same district as Senator Jones. Senator Jones obviously was a senator who preceded me in here. I'm here really to just a me too and think that he's an excellent choice for this position.
Thank you, Senator. Any further proponents for Tom Jones to the Board of Economic Development? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Tom Jones' appointment to the Board of Economic Development? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close committee questions. Questions of the committee? Seeing none, we'll close questions, move to discussion and or action. Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to, in favor of advising consent for Mr. Tom Jones.
Second
by motion, advising consent of Tom Jones, Board of Economic Development, by Senator Hunhoff, second by Senator Hollein. Comments on that motion, Senator Hunhoff?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just think it's an excellent appointment, and I really thank the governor's office for this appointment. He's been described already as reliable and thoughtful. I don't know how conservative he is, but he's independent. Very, very independent thinker and a thoughtful person, and I couldn't agree more. And also, I think a small town, rural, small business voice, which will be really beneficial. So thank you for the appointment.
Thank you. Further comments, Senator Brown?
Yeah, I would just like to comment. It's kind of nice to see, you know, as you recall, as part of building South Dakota, we put four legislative members on the board in a non-voting capacity. And, you know, in some respects, it's kind of gratifying to see that maybe to some degree that actually worked as, you know, sort of a test drive to see the philosophy of these folks as they sat on that board and kind of give the board a chance to gauge ahead of time how these members would react. And so from that standpoint, I am certainly glad to see that come through, not to mention the fact that I think Tom Jones demonstrated a very thoughtful approach throughout his entire time in the legislature, and I'm happy to see the governor make this appointment.
Thank you. Any further comments? I'll just close then by saying I concur with both of those remarks and associate myself with them. Tom has had the privilege of serving with him, and he is a true statesman and will be a great addition to the board. So with that, the motion before us is the Hunhoff motion advising consent of Tom Jones, the Board of Economic Development. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Hollein.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Okay. Sutton is excused. Brown.
Here.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Thank you. Carries.
I was going to say here. All right. Motion carries. Advising consent, Tom Jones goes to the floor. All right. With that, we're going to, I'm just going to run through what I'm going to do on the calendar here. In deference to Senator Sutton, I'm going to move 1176 to next Wednesday. We'll drop it below the line. So if you're here for 1176, you don't need to be until Wednesday. We're going to move the appointments around a little bit. We'll move the reappointment of Jim Hagan back up, and we'll take that next. So with that, we'll open up proponent testimony on the reappointment of Jim Hagan to the position of Secretary of Department of Tourism. Mr. Van Huysen, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Tony Van Huysen, Chief of Staff, Governor Dennis Dugard, here today to ask for your advice and consent on the reappointment of Jim Hagan as Secretary of Tourism. Tempted to just read to you House Commemoration 1001, which many of you are sponsors of. I think you already know the valuable team member we have in Jim Hagan. He is a very strong leader for this department, very, very widely respected in South Dakota, but really across the country, where he's been called on for leadership roles in the national tourism industry and recognized for his work. And as you know, he is a person with a lot of background as a former chief of staff to Governor Janklow and head of the economic development efforts and his work at Crazy Horse. So I won't belabor the point, but I would ask you to advise and consent on Secretary Hagan. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further proponents on the reappointment of Jim Hagan? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to the reappointment of Jim Hagan? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, we'll close testimony, open questions to the committee. Are there any questions? Seeing none, is there any discussion and or action? Senator Solano Holt. Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move advice and consent of James Hagan to the position of Secretary of the Department of Tourism.
Second.
Motion to advise and consent of Jim Hagan by Soholt, second by Brown. Comments on that motion? Senator Soholt.
You know, I think it's really already been said, but, you know, Jim just does such a great job representing our state. His enthusiasm is contagious. I mean, he's received national respect and has elevated South Dakota in that arena on our behalf, and I just think he is, you know, the right person in the right job.
Excellent. Further comments? Senator Solano.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and to echo the comments, the good senator to my right. Mr. Hagan has such a respect from the operators and the small businesses that are throughout the Black Hills that really rely on tourism, and the partnership that he's created with those small businesses has been tremendous, and he's just the right man for the job. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I couldn't agree more, and what I really like about the tourism office is that, you know, we always talk about having a 66-county tourism effort, and I think we've done better or worse through the years of that. I tell you, under Secretary Hagan's leadership, it's truly been a 66-county tourism effort all across the state, and I think our area in Yankton, which sometimes feels neglected, has not felt neglected under Jim Hagan, so we appreciate his leadership a lot.
Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none, I'll just close by saying there, because Jim is a friend and one of the greatest advocates for the state of South Dakota that I've ever met. So with that, I would certainly urge your support of the advise and consent motion. Before us is the Soholt motion, advise and consent, reappointment of Jim Hagan, Secretary of Tourism. All in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holine.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Senator Sutton is excused. Senators Brown.
Aye.
And Rave.
Aye.
Carries.
Motion carries. Advising consent of Jim Hagan goes to the floor. Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I move consent.
Second.
Consent by Brown, second by Lederman. Comments? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We will take up the appointment of Steve Emery as Secretary of Department of Tribal Affairs. With that, proponents, Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you very much. Indulgence, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Secretary Emery got held up in another matter. Obviously, it was Tribal Relations Day. and he still had a few other things. So certainly within your purview, you could certainly defer voting on it if you wish to have him before you. But I thought that if you thought otherwise, that I would describe, especially for those people in the audience and watching, what we've been through in the last 4 years and the privilege that we have that we found Secretary Emery. First of all, the governor ran and has continued to refocus the Indian relations and tribal relations issues that we have. Here he is. Good. And as a result of that, we had the first secretary with J.R. LaPlante. J.R. went on to obviously other callings, but as part of that, we did very extensive, essentially advertising through informal mechanisms to find people. That's not always done, as I had learned and understood with finding secretariat positions. And so we were very privileged to have the opportunity to get Secretary Emery to apply and consider being part of this team, and he's done more than that. Secretary Emery is an enrolled member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, has spent his early years on the reservation, and he attended high school at Crow Creek. One of the things that he's a pretty modest guy, but if you have the opportunity to talk with him about his Army experience, it's myriad. It's both from being deployed as well as working in a legal services office. He is not law trained, but from my experiences in the military, the team that I would have within our offices actually knew a lot more about regulation and law, and especially as it related to the interplay of jurisdiction, which is very important in his position. I did not know Steve before he applied. I knew of his reputation because he worked in agriculture and later on when he came back home was actually an advocate for Dakota Plains Legal Services. And based on his legal experiences, he actually became a judge. And many of you may not know this, but you don't have to have a law degree to be a judge within the tribal court system. And he's very regarded very well. Both as a judge from the Pine Ridge based out of Kyle, but he was associate judge for Rosebud, and he was also covering for Crow Creek after a number of their issues, and been a strong advocate for children and just knowledgeable about the relationships and has deep personal relationships as an advocate for tribal governments, but also understanding, as they say, the ability to walk in both worlds. And I think yesterday's presentation indicated that. And with that, I respectfully request your advice and consent and confirmation of Secretary Emery. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. For the proponents, Mr. Emery, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like to apologize for my attire. I'm leaving for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in approximately 45 minutes by air to work on a project with the Department of Justice for reentry of prisoners back to the reservation and a home base, kind of like the CCJ, like the initiative the governor took. There's a parole project at Sisseton right now, and we're working with the feds up in Standing Rock to hopefully establish the same where we can bring people home. So I apologize for my attire. as Lieutenant Governor said, I'm an enrolled member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. I spent 13 years in the Army, spent a couple years in Saudi Arabia, helped write the first country law study for the Department of Defense there. Was in JAG the entire time. Deployed to Panama and served in Just Cause as well as Desert Storm, so I am a combat veteran. I've been in this position since October, and we're making great strides in improving our relationship with the tribes. I've been invited to all the tribes and have gone to most of them and have been extremely busy with Standing Rock on several issues to include agriculture, economic development, etc. I'm married and have But between my wife and I, we have seven children, and one's enrolled at Lower Brule, my son, and I've got six children that are enrolled at Ogallala, so I'm very, very knowledgeable about Indian country. I have personal relationships as being a judge.
I was also special judge at Yankton Sioux Tribe as well as Rosebud Sioux Tribe while I was the chief judge at Crow Creek. So I do have a lot of experience in this area. Being a tribal member, I know the issues that affect the tribes because my relatives live on the Rosebud and the Crow Creek and, as I found out yesterday, Sisseton. So very extended family on the reservations. This has been a rewarding and challenging experience, and I wish to continue through that.
Thank you, sir. Any further proponents? Any further proponents? Senator. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to speak more on Steve's grandparents, who I had the privilege of growing up with, his mother and his grandparents. And I just got to tell you, my father and Robert Emery were probably as close of friends as they could. Mabel and Robert came to our house many, many times. And the sad thing was that his mother was a very beautiful girl, and I always thought, boy, but she never ever looked my way. So, but I just want to tell you that as the chairman of the state tribal relations, I just think they, I think we're so fortunate that Steve has applied for this job. Because he has many, many areas he could go that would be beneficial to his tribe as well as to our communities and really. But he saw fit to see that this is an area where he can help both the state and the tribes work together. I just really think it's an outstanding pick, and I want to thank Steve especially, and I hope this committee approves it.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. Any further proponents? Are there any further proponents? None that could top Senator Bradford, I'm sure. Seeing none, are there any opponents to the advising consent of Steve Emery? Are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, we'll open to questions. Are there any questions of the committee? Seeing none, we'll close questions. Are they open to discussion and or action? Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I would move the advising consent of Steve Emery for the position of Secretary of the Department of Tribal Affairs.
Second.
Motion advising consent, Mr. Emery, by Senator Brown. Second by Senator Lederman. Comments on that motion, Senator Brown?
I think it's clear, given the testimony, that we clearly have a quality candidate before us who has pretty vast experience. And I think even beyond that, one of the things that I certainly like to hear on that are the connections that Steve has managed to make, not with just one tribe in particular, but with a number. As we know in this state, that can be a little bit of a challenge when we're dealing with a number of different entities. So to see that kind of crossover, I think, is certainly a good quality in that position for this particular state. So I think we're excited to have him on board.
Absolutely. Any further remarks? Seeing none, I'll just close. Welcome to the team, Mr. Emery. Sounds like you're going to do an outstanding job, and we're glad to have you part of our group. And if we could pull off dressing like that every day, we would, so don't apologize. All right. With that, motion before us is the Brown motion advising consent of Mr. Emery as Secretary of Tribal Relations. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Hollein.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Senator Sutton is excused. Senators Brown.
Aye.
And Rave.
Aye.
Carries.
Motion carries. Go to the floor, advising consent. All right, with that, we will defer the advising consent of Kimberly Malsom Risen until next week. She had a conflict and she wanted to be here. So, with that, we'll take proponent testimony on House Bill 1177. We'll open up House Bill 1177. Are there any proponents, Representative Rounds?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, honorable members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. Representative Tim Rounds, District 24 and Pierre. Senate Bill or House Bill 1177 does basically two things in SDCL 122722. First part is about transparency. Presently, all legislative and statewide candidates who appear on the primary ballot must file a pre-primary campaign finance report by 5 p.m. the second Friday prior to that primary election. This is to include all finances through the 15-day period prior to that primary. Those candidates who are successful in the primary and all other candidates who appear on the general election ballot have to file a campaign finance report the second Friday prior to the general election. All candidates, campaign committees, PACs, political parties, and ballot question committees must then file a year-end finance report by February 1st. What this bill would do is to add an additional reporting requirement for those that did not move onto the general election ballot following a primary. This report would be due to the Office of the Secretary of State by the second Friday of August following that primary election. These candidates can either file a finance disclosure report or a termination report. People have asked why make this change. Presently, those that lose in the primary, they have to file that pre-primary report, which is about 10 days to 2 weeks prior to that primary election. They do not have to file any other report concerning their finances, the money brought in, the money they expended, until the year-end report in February. With the vast amount of outside PAC money coming into these primary elections, and let's just get truthful about it, there are some pretty nasty primary elections. There needs to be some transparency as to who is behind these campaigns and where their support is going in the general election. One would be able to review the post-primary report and compare it to the pre-general election reports, kind of following the money, where it's going, who they're supporting. This past year, this would have involved an additional 36 candidates between the legislative and the statewide offices, and that's all it affects, are legislative races and statewide races. The second change in the bill is to change the date of the year-end reports, presently February 1st. I commented on that briefly earlier. This year, the 1st of February occurred over the weekend, and therefore it was the first Monday following that weekend. And the reports were coming in that week before on a pretty steady stream. When you have the date due in the middle of the week, sometimes there gets to be a backlog in the Secretary of State's office. So for this reason, to clarify, we're just moving that year-end report to the first Monday in February. I've worked with the Secretary of State's office on this. We made some modifications and changes, but it was worked hand-in-hand with the Secretary of State's office. The bill passed out of the House without any opposition, no nay votes, and I would ask you to support House Bill 1177. I'll remain available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents, 1177. Further proponents. Last call for proponents. Seeing none. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1177? Any opponents? Last call. Seeing none. We'll open to questions. Questions of the committee. Seeing none. Discussion and or action. Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on House Bill 1177.
Second. Motion due pass by Lederman, second by Holeen. Comments on that motion, Senator Lederman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe that this is a good measure. After the primaries are over, it's good to know that those reports can be finalized instead of waiting until February or the following year. I also believe that the second provision in the bill makes sense to move it to a Monday instead of a fixed date, as it could fall on a weekend. So with that, I urge the support of the committee and pass to this to move it on to the floor of the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments on the Lederman due pass? Seeing none. Motion before us is Lederman due pass motion. All those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holeen.
Aye.
Hanoff.
Hunhoff.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Carries.
House Bill 1177, go to the floor, do pass. All right, with that, we'll, in deference to Representative Killer, we are going to defer HGR 1005 until next week. He wished to be here, and he had a conflict where he was out of town today. That brings us to House Bill 1144 on today's calendar. Are there any proponents? House Bill 1144. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Laura Ringling with the Governor's Office. House Bill 1144 is an act to amend and repeal certain unnecessary and outdated provisions related to state affairs and government. House Bill 1144 is part of Governor Dugard's red tape initiative. This bill removes outdated and unnecessary language and does not change current practice. This is the fifth legislative session that Governor Dugard has brought forward legislation to repeal or amend outdated and obsolete statutes. In the past, the governor's office has compiled an omnibus bill addressing statutes from all agencies together. However, this year, each agency has brought their own legislation, and these are the statutes identified under the governor's office purview. Section 1 of House Bill 1144 is a permissive statute allowing the governor to publish his messages and addresses. We believe this is unnecessary, and we would like to repeal it. Section 2 is being amended to remove an obsolete reference to a statute which was repealed in 1995. With that, I would ask for your support in the passage of 1144, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. Any further proponents on 1144? Any further proponents? Last call. Seeing none. Are there any opponents? Any opponents? 1144? Any opponents? Last call. Seeing none. Any questions? Are there any questions of the proponent? Seeing none. Committee discussion and or action. Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move due pass on House Bill 1144.
Motion due pass by Lederman, second by Brown. Comments on that motion, Senator Lederman?
I think the proponent testimony was sufficient, and I appreciate the committee's support to pass this to the floor. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments on the Lederman due pass? Seeing none, motion before us is the Lederman due pass. All those favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Holine.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Carries.
House Bill 1144, go to the floor, do pass. Senator Lederman.
Move consent.
Second.
Lederman, motion for consent. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
That was so wholesome.
Yep. Well, it brings us to 1064. I've seen Senator Tiedemann three times in and out here, but of course he's not here right now, so I'll be at ease for just a minute. He went to go get him. It's okay. We got it. It's okay. We got it. With that committee next week, then it looks like we had four bills on the docket moving down now. Both HGR 1005 and 1176 will have a now full Wednesday, and an appointment of Kimberly Malsom Risden. So, and then apparently I'm getting a whisper in my ear. There's another appointment. So one and one is still two.
Three.
One and one is not three.
No, but one and two is.
We got a lot of appointments on Wednesday, so we're going to have a full day. We might have to, I'm just sitting here looking at the clock, we might have to eat into the noon hour on Wednesday because we got to get through the calendar on Wednesday, and that leaves us, I think, three vehicle bills on Friday and one bill of some substance, but I don't recall which one it is. It didn't seem to be too heavy lift, so we'll have a full week next week. I've got it in my book, but I'm not going to look. So. Well, we're at ease. Why don't you, Paige, just come up and introduce yourself. Tell us where you're, where you go to school now, what you want to do after school. Don't be shy.
I
My name is Grant Irwin. I live here in Pierre, and after school, I hope to attend the University of North Dakota for aviation.
Excellent.
I'm Marcus Ireland from Alcester, and I plan on attending USD for political science and economics and then law school.
Excellent choice. Much better than the North Dakota choice. Go Yotes. Well, it could have been worse. Could have went to Notre Dame.
He did say he was going to be a pilot.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Austin's coming back.
Yeah, Senator Tiedemann's here, so. Come on up, Senator Tiedemann. Proponents on House Bill 1064.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I almost called you Mr. Leader.
Either one.
Either one will work. Okay. First, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to share with you kind of how 1064 came about. This was a result of our study this past summer in the Government Operations and Audit Committee. We had put a bill together, but it didn't have some of the wording that was needed. So a number of folks have worked since session started to get this bill in the form that it is today. And I want to give a lot of credit to Representative Mickelson, Representative John, Representative Stevens, and also the Board of Regents, Bureau of Human Resources, and also the Government Operations and Government Governor's Office of Economic Development. Thank you. But they did a lot of work in putting the wording together. Currently, in the Constitution, we as legislators cannot take state employment for 1 year after we're done serving. It's in the Constitution. But officers who are in a secretary position or anything of that nature are a deputy secretary and not prohibited from doing some things of this nature. This puts in place, basically, the legislation, if this passes, would say that if you're working here, you cannot do a deal for another job, either in the private or in the public sector. That would sign a contract going forward. Okay? And this new act, it does not apply to South Dakota legislators, as I've said, but the bill strengthens the conflict of interest laws that we currently have in place. Section 1 directly prohibits soliciting gifts, favors, rewards, service, or promise of future employment in exchange for influence in a state contract. Section 2, as amended, no state officer or employee may receive a direct benefit from a contract within the scope of their official duties. This expands that existing conflict law in that it extends the period of time that this is banned up to 1 year post-employment. Current law limits the contracts to those involving the expenditure of public funds. This law removes that limitation so that the ban applies to all state contracts. Some contracts create opportunities for the private sector, i.e. the contract between the GOED and others. It expands the definition of conflict situations to those where the individual has either an interest, contract, current law, or where the employee receives a direct benefit. Section 3 defines direct benefit in a way that includes spouses and other adults under the same roof that have commingled assets. It also defines direct benefit very broadly to apply to any situation where the former employee receives any compensation from the entity that is counterparty to the contract. Section 4 provides some relief valve. What this does is that as we went through the process, we do not want to stop certain things from happening, i.e. the commercialization of research. New research where a product may be developed and then moved into the private sector, we do not want to prohibit that from going forward because that is something that will help the state grow. But before that can go forward, you have to provide full written disclosure that this is what you are planning to do, that the terms are fair and reasonable and not contrary to public interest. Authorization is in writing. Authorization becomes a public record at the Bureau of Human Resources. Annually, the Bureau of Human Resources presents them, the people have to present them to Government Operations and Audit Committee. So we have a chance as a legislature to review this. In Section 5, it also banned all former state employees from having a contract with state government other than a contract for employment for 1 year trailing employment. Section 5 provides a relief valve, again, for full disclosure, fair terms in the best interest of the state, authorization in writing, a public filings, and Government Operations and Audit Committee notice. Section 6 sets the penalty. It's a Class 1 misdemeanor if they purposely go forward without the approval, as we've discussed. This bill, I think, sets the stage for the future, and yet I don't think it's going to prohibit the state from doing good things as we go forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents of House Bill 1064. Further proponents, Mr. Van Huysen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Tony Van Huysen with the Governor's Office. I won't repeat the explanation of what this bill does. I would just say that I think it does three things, all of which are very important. First of all, it sets out a set of rules and processes that are clear for the employees who have to live under them. So if you are a state employee, it is now much easier to know what the rules are and what you need to do to follow them. I think that's important. Secondly, it makes the process a lot more transparent by putting in statute a process by which employees can disclose a conflict, ask for it to be waived, and then create a written public record, and then, as Senator Tiedemann said, that record would be available to the Republic and report to the public, and then periodically reported to the legislative committee. I think that's important. Third, it maintains all of the penalties that have been in place and strengthens some of them, both criminal penalties for people who knowingly violate and also the penalty that can lead to termination of an employee who knowingly violates. So for those reasons, the Governor's Office and the Administration support this legislation. We appreciate the work that Senator Tiedemann and the GOAC Committee and Representative Mickelson and the House Judiciary Committee put into putting a bill into final form that achieves these goals, and so I would ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Van Huysen. Further proponents on 1064. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nathan Lucas. I'm the Assistant Vice President for Research and Economic Development with the South Dakota Board of Regents. I will keep my comments very brief. This is a very important issue, but also a very complicated one. We greatly appreciate the fact that Senator Tiedemann, Representative Mickelson, and others allowed us to engage in the conversation and assist in coming up with a comprehensive solution that addresses the concerns of GOAC and the legislature while also minimizing the unintended consequences associated therewith. So with that, I would urge your support of House Bill 1064, and we'll stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas. Further proponents. Are there any further proponents on 1064? Any further proponents? Last call. Seeing none. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1064? Any opponents? Seeing none. We will move to committee questions. Are there any questions of the committee members? Seeing none, we'll move to discussion and or action. Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass.
Second. Motion due pass by Brown, second by Otten. Comments on that motion, Senator Brown?
No, I think the proponents have done a nice job of laying out exactly what this piece of legislation does. I do know when the concept was first brought up that there were a number of concerns that were out there, and I think, once again, this is a case where if folks work through those together, you can come up with a better product at the end of the day. And, you know, I would certainly like to give my thanks to Senator Tiedemann's leadership on GOAC and being able to come forward with a bill that I think, as indicated, addresses an important issue and kind of sets the stage for the state to move forward.
Thank you. Further comments on the Brown motion to pass? Seeing none, the motion before us is the Brown motion to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Hollein.
Aye.
Hanhoff.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Carries.
Motion carries. Goes to the floor to pass.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Brown.
Move consent.
Second.
Motion consent by Brown, second by Lederman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you, Senator. With that, brings us to the end of today's calendar. I already walked us through kind of our schedule for next week, so we'll spend a lot of quality time together next Wednesday and Friday. But we should have no trouble getting done. So with that, have a great weekend, and I'll take a motion to adjourn by Brown, second by Lederman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned.